If you would, please turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18 is our text this morning. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 18. The word of the Lord. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and holiness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather in thy Son's name. Father, we thank you for the wonderful privilege that we have of gathering together for worship in a manner unlike many other countries. We have no fear of meeting together. We don't need to do it in secrecy. We don't need to hide from our government to do so. And we thank you for these privileges. May we never take them for granted. Father, we pray that you would be pleased with the worship offered to you this day. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would be so kind to take your word, that which you have prepared for us this morning, and that you would apply it to each and every one of our own situations. You are he who reads the hearts and minds of your people. You know our fears, our challenges, our concerns. You know the sins that we so easily get entangled with. You know exactly everything about us, from the crown of our head to the tips of our toes. And so we ask that you would be so kind to apply your word to each and every one of us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would be so kind to bless thy servant's work for your honor and glory. I pray that you would help me to speak boldly, confidently. Grant me singleness of mind. I pray your forgiveness in advance if I should speak anything amiss. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone here this morning or anyone listening to this message who has not yet placed their faith, their trust in you for the forgiveness of their sins, they have not yet come to understand that only by trusting in you are they made right with God. Father, or Lord, we pray that you would be so kind to plead to the Father on their behalf, asking him to draw them unto himself through a personal saving relationship with you. Give them eyes to see, minds to understand, and hearts to know that their need of forgiveness, which is only through trusting in you, we pray. In your name, amen. When it comes to eschatology, people respond to it in various ways. What is eschatology? Eschatology is the study of end times, of future things. Some could care less about eschatology, and that's unfortunate, because as Christians, we are called to look forward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to live in anticipation of the return of Jesus. As we read in our responsive reading this morning in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, we read, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age." And notice what Titus goes on to say, "looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might be redeemed, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." And so we are to look for the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then there are those, some who use eschatology as an opportunity for all kinds of unnecessary speculation about Christ's return. And that's unfortunate, because Holy Scripture is clear in that no one really knows the day or the hour of Christ's return. No one knows the day or the hour when Jesus will return. We're told in Matthew 24, verse 36 and 44, there we find Matthew recording the Lord saying, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Jesus could return at any given moment. He could return in the next week. He can return in the next day. He could return before our service is over this morning. He could return at any given moment. And so when it comes to eschatology, we are to study it and avoid speculations. We are to become familiar with all that the Bible teaches regarding the things to come, while at the same time avoiding making speculations. Eschatology, much like the sovereignty of God and the doctrine of election, has elements that are clear and elements that are not so clear. There's element of mystery with the discipline of eschatology, just as there are with the doctrines of other doctrines of the Holy Bible. There are simply some things that God has in his most holy and wise counsel he has chosen to keep as a mystery to us. We'll never fully understand election. We'll never fully understand the doctrine of the sovereignty of God. We'll never fully understand, you know, why evil exists. There are just certain things that God in his most holy and wise counsel has chosen to keep as a mystery to us. In Deuteronomy 29:29, we read these words. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of his law. And so there are certain things, again, that are secret to us, and they belong to the Lord our God. But the things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. Why? For our obedience to God's word, so that we may walk faithfully with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This brings us to today's passage here in 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 18. Eschatology was never meant to be ignored by the church. I mean, think it through. God gave us eschatology, and therefore it ought to be important to us. Future things ought to be important to us. He doesn't do anything without an intent behind it. He gave us eschatology for a reason. Well, why did he give us eschatology? For a reason. The mere fact that he gave us eschatology should motivate us to want to read and to understand and, when appropriate, to apply the doctrine of future things. It was never meant to encourage mere speculations. It was never meant to encourage all kinds of unbiblical ideas. And as we will see from today's passage, God has given us eschatology not only for us to study and to understand, but also so that we would be motivated to holiness. So that we would be motivated to holiness. So if you would, read with me once again our text, verses 10 through 18, and then we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again we ask that you would be pleased with the worship offered to you this day. Father, I thank you for each and every one that is here this morning. I pray your richest blessings upon them and their family. May your good and perfect and acceptable will be accomplished in each and every one of us this morning. In your holy name we pray, amen. Again, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Beloved, the apparent delay of the day of the Lord should not lead one to believe that it is an event that will not happen soon. As we already mentioned this morning, it could happen at any given moment. The mindset that this is something that is not going to happen soon, it's going to happen sometime in the long future, is an unfortunate mindset. The body of Christ need not become relaxed in her service to Christ, thinking that there's plenty of time to get serious in serving the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We got plenty of time to get serious about our walk with Christ. That is unfortunate. The day of the Lord could occur at any given moment, at any time. People would be caught off guard at an unexpected time. The idea that some have that the day of the Lord can be predicted to a certain year or a month or a week or a day is unbiblical. The idea that one can know when Christ will return is unbiblical, and it ought to be outright rejected. Those who teach such nonsense ought to be avoided. They ought to be avoided. But with that said, beloved, with that said, we can see and understand the times in which we live. And therefore, we can know with certainty that Christ's return is nearer than ever before it was, or is nearer before than it has been. We see the world, the direction that it's headed in, and from it we can confidently conclude that the day of the Lord is near. But that is it. We can only conclude that it is nearer. It is nearer, but we don't know exactly when. But when we look at the world, the direction that it's headed in, we can confidently know that the day of the Lord is absolutely nearer than it ever has been. Nearer than it ever has been. Again, the Lord's words in Matthew 24, verse 36 and 44, he says, but of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only, Jesus says. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood came and took them all away, so also will the day of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, and one will be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, Jesus says, you can know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, Jesus references the days of Noah. He says, but as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what were the days of Noah? People were marrying and celebrating, and they're just going on their normal everyday life, not even giving one thought about God. As the days of Noah were, they were eating, drinking, and being merry, going on with their life. Had no idea, no clue. They thought Noah's preaching was his foolishness. And then suddenly, unexpected, caught off guard, worldwide flood. The Lord's coming. He's nearer. His return is nearer. We just do not know exactly when. Commenting on verse 10, one commentator wrote this: with this coming, the ungodly will be judged with full disclosure of the deeds committed by them. To counter any distortions about the ultimate nature of divine judgment, Peter expresses the day of the Lord in cataclysmic terms. It is sudden, it is decisive, it is cosmic and final in its nature. Again, it is sudden, decisive, cosmic and final in its nature. Again, what does Peter say in verse 10? He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, Peter says. With Christ's first advent, he came as a savior, amen? With his second advent, he will not come as a savior, but as a judge of the world. This brings us to verse 11 of our text. Read with me, beginning with verse 11. Here Peter writes, in response to the day of the Lord, in response to the sudden, decisive, cosmic, and final character of its nature, Peter writes, therefore, in light of this, because of this, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, in light of this, because of this, beloved, looking forward to these things, notice what he says, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do also the rest of Scripture. Beloved, it is a grave mistake. It is a grave mistake to divide eschatology and ethics, to make a separation, a distinction, to separate the coming of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the manner in which we live out our Christian life. Ethics is a mistake. They are to be taught together. They belong together. I mean, think it through. with the coming of the day of the Lord so near, Peter says, how ought the God's people be living? What kind of lives should we be leading? With Jesus, his return so near, in what manner should we be living our lives? What kind of lives are we to be living, knowing that Christ's return is so very near, and that with his return comes judgment? Beloved, Peter wanted his original audience to understand that in light of the any moment appearing of Jesus Christ, it truly does matter how they conducted themselves. It really does matter the kind of lives that they were leading. Were they leading lives in obedience to God's word? Were they obeying those things, that which God has revealed to us, that belong to us for our obedience? Or were they just living life as in the days of Noah, going about their daily lives, eating, drinking, being merry, not giving a second thought to the return of Christ? Beloved, God wants us to understand that in light of the any moment appearing of his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it truly does matter how we live our lives. It truly does matter. I mean, think it through. Notice what Peter says here. He says, again in verse 11, he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? And then again, he says in verse 14, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, considering the long suffering of our Lord as salvation. So as God's dear children, as we read and study and become familiar with eschatology, especially the day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, the soon judgment of the world, we ought to be motivated. We ought to be motivated to holiness. We ought to be encouraged and motivated to live right before the Lord, to live pleasing to him. Again, Peter says in verses 11 through 14, he says, therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, he says, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which, meaning because when he returns, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. He's nevertheless, Peter goes on to say, according to his promise, we look for the new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And so what Peter is telling us here is that in light of the soon appearing of Christ, which comes with unimaginable judgment, we ought to be making every effort to be found spotless and blameless and at peace with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ought to be making every effort to be found walking in obedience to all that Jesus has commanded us. Now, we're not talking legalism. Our obedience doesn't earn or doesn't merit our salvation. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. But we need to keep in mind that Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 21, that if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And so if we are concerned for keeping Christ's commandments, or if we are concerned for living a life that is pleasing to him, that is evidence that we are one of his. And so we ought to be motivated to holiness. We are to do this bearing in mind that the apparent delay of the Lord is actually, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago when we started considering 2 Peter chapter 3, the apparent delay of the day of the Lord is actually divine patience. It's God's divine patience. Why hasn't he returned yet? Why hasn't the Lord returned yet? It's because God, if you remember, God is being patient. He is not willing that any of his people perish. Divine patience. And that divine patience is working toward the salvation of souls. Notice what Peter goes on to say in verse 17 through 18. He says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, having this understanding of how things are going to unfold, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and to the day of eternity." Amen. There were those, beloved, denying the return of Christ, and in doing so, attempting to carry away God's people into false teaching, and by doing so, cause them to fall away from their steadfastness in being motivated to holiness. They were denying the return of Christ. You remember how Peter started? You know, everything continues as it always has been. Where's the coming of the Lord? They were denying his return. They were trying to draw away disciples, trying to draw away Christians into thinking that he's not coming, trying to get them to relax their testimony, trying to get them to fall away from their steadfastness. And so Peter sets the record straight here in chapter 3. The day of the Lord is near, and it will arrive with great judgment. It is in light of that we are to be motivated to holiness. We are to be motivated to living lives that are pleasing to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, knowing that at any given moment, he could return. So in what manner of people ought we to be? What kind of lives ought we to be leading, knowing that Christ's return could happen at any given moment? The return of Jesus Christ, the study of eschatology, of future things, ought to be to us a motivating factor to holiness. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the promised return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How we look forward to that day when righteousness will reign and rule from all four corners of the earth. What a glorious day that will be. Father, we pray that if there be anyone here this morning or anyone who has not yet begun to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we pray that you would be merciful to them and that you would grant them saving faith. that you would wash them clean of all their sins, that you would bring them into your family so that they too would have the blessed promise of the Lord's return. And Father, I pray there'd be any one of us here this morning, any brother or sister in Christ, who has not been living in accordance or in light of our Lord and Savior's return. Father, I pray that you would be merciful to him or her, that you would grant them repentance, and that you would grant them a renewed desire, a renewed motivation toward holiness, a renewed desire to live obedient to all that Jesus Christ has given to us, to all that you have given to us in your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen.